Blog Talk Radio.
So y'all got gumbo, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the song right here that kind of started the whole album off. This is kind of the spirit I was in when I was working on it. I was still living in California at the time. And I was taking some meetings with some labels and whatnot, you know. And it just seemed like they wanted me to be somebody who I wasn't, you know. So I left that meeting and I started to write this song right here. And I knew I wanted to do something different. I knew I had to maybe get away from L.A., get my mind back to what made me fall in love with music in the first place. So I moved back to New Orleans, my hometown, and started to get back to myself again. And I decided I was gonna be myself. When I was back in L.A., they said stuff like this.
PJ denies mainstream dumb.
Oh.
Would you consider us changing some stuff? Oh, like everything about who you are. No offense, we're just trying to make you a star. But I must admit, claustrophobic, I have a hard time trying to fit into your small mind. And I have a habit of dreaming bigger than anything I can see right in front of me. Say, PJ, you're not quite street enough. Thug life, my nigga, act a little more tough. Oh, and can you switch your style up a little more? Oh, yeah. You can be yourself later, but now we need the radio. But I must admit, claustrophobic guy, have a hard time trying to fit into your small. And I have a habit of dreaming bigger than anything I can see right in front. Can't see forest for the trees, movement for the breeze on my own feet. Can't see what you might want for me. Think it's better if we be ourselves. They clutch into my talent more than cactus to a rose. Daddy has sweated action travel, you from New Orleans. Go so why I dabble with negative energy when all I really seen is a positive sensibility. Not the hardest rapper, but I'm about it much as Master P don't play with me. 504 my home, don't you know that? Strolling through the street, you should probably take a Kodak. Photosynthesized, rotting right in front your eyes. Made a trip to Cali, came back a different guy, living through the same eyes. Riding Uber, still got drugs, been the truest, never lie. But I need a little space, cause I'm better to do with me. Just resign if you were late, yeah, yeah. Claustrophobic guy, have a hard time trying to fit into your small mind. And I have a habit of dreaming bigger than anything I can see right in front.
Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina. How is everybody doing today? On the first day of the week, it is a good day to be here. It's a good day to be alive. All things be well. I hope everyone is doing well today. If you can hear me, please push 1. I will not call on you. I promise. I won't do it. Just somebody. All right, I see you, 347. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. All praises be to the Most High Yah. How glorious is his name. How wonderful is his story. How precious is our ending going to be, and how excited I am. It's a wonderful day to be alive. You know what? Our viewing has increased. I'm sure we have more than what they're reporting, but they say we have 80,000 listeners. And our following is increasing as well. All praises be to the Most High Yah. We don't really focus on the numbers because if we can reach one, if each one reach one, we'll be all right. That's all we need to do is reach one. One person plants, another waters, and it's Yah that gives the increase. That's what the words say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How did you all like class yesterday? All praises be to his high and holy name. I know you enjoyed it as I did. I have something I want to do today, though, and that's a little different. Because, you know, I don't really deal with ethnicity as much as other people do. I don't really deal with ethnicity as much as other people, other camps do. But it was something that came across my mind the other day that I felt was important, you know, to be able to deal with on the radio show. The one thing that I want everybody to know in the listening audience is that we are the children of Israel. We are. We are the 12, we are descendants of Jacob's 12 sons. Now, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, but he has 12 sons, and that's how we're called the children of Israel. Now, we've listened to a lot of people from the Church of God in Christ and from the Pentecostal churches and the Baptist churches, and everybody is saying that we're teaching error, you know, that what we're saying isn't true. Well, I wanted to touch on just a few things because those 12 tribes mean that there's 12 sons, and each one of those sons have descendants. And I want to be able to show you in the Word today where those boys are black. Now, I can't touch on all 12 of them, but I can touch on a majority of them to be able to let you know that they are black people. And if I can just reference just a few, you know, to be able to give you this information, I think it's going to be important for you to know, you know, that we're dealing with black people of color, you know, because they were saying, you know, that the world is now watching how we're being treated all over the world, you know. But the thing about it is we already scattered all over the world. What you should be doing is watching how you're treating the ones that's in your country. Because he scattered us on purpose, you know. I encourage everyone not to mess with the Gentile reign. Leave the Gentile reign alone. Don't try to alter it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to do anything because guess what? Just like we had to come into the knowledge of what we did to get us in this situation, they're going to have to come to the knowledge that they're going to be judged for what they do. Everybody's going to be judged. Nobody's going to get away. You know, so it's very important, you know, to know that and to be able to understand that. We know that there was a lot of preaching that went on this morning. A whole bunch of folk, the hoop, the holler, the scream, the shout, everything happened today. You know, some people bowed down to statues today. Some churches got Christmas trees in their church today. It's a whole lot of stuff going on today, you know, that we don't participate in. You know, and why don't we do it is because we've learned. You know, he said, don't serve nobody else but me. Those are the things that I don't want you to engage in. Don't be like the other nations and don't do what they do. You do what I tell you to do. And if you do this, he said, you will be, what's the word I want to use? He said, if you obey my laws, statutes, and commandments, you shall live in them. That's what the scripture says. So, you know, to those people that are of the Gentile persuasion, it's up to you to believe this. It's not up to us to convince you to believe it. You have to believe this on your own. You know, and whatever you do will be judged just like he judged his own people. And I always say this, if he did this to his own people, to the people he chose, and the ones that he said he loved above all other families of the earth, what do you think he's going to do when he comes to judge your behavior? Because it's going to be judged. You know? That's why I tell everybody all the time, don't believe what these people are telling you. I heard, I ain't going to get into that, but yes, I am. I heard in California that they're passing a law now where, you know, they can't discriminate. If you're a company, you have to make sure that you have a person of color and you have to have a person in your company of another gender persuasion. So they're making sure that every avenue is covered, that you can't discriminate. And I don't have a problem with that because you should hire whoever's qualified. But we better learn one thing, that he's coming to deal with the things that we've engaged ourselves into, and that's all of it. So don't believe these people. Let these people tell you you can do whatever you want to do, because you cannot. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But anyway, before I even get started, does anybody have anything they want to say about anything? Yesterday, today, forevermore, anybody have anything they want to say? All praises be to the Most High, the high and holy name of Israel. If you do, please feel free to push one. You know, because we're getting closer and closer. Oh, here we go. Area code 347. Area code 347, your mic is open. You're on the air. What would you have to say?
Shalom, Sister Yaina. I wanted to know if you heard that Peter Turkson resigned his position at the Vatican, in the church.
No, what do you mean he resigned his position?
That's what I was wondering. I saw it in Reuters. Someone had sent me the article yesterday. I wanted to know if you knew about that.
I did not.
Oh,
I'm pulling it up right now.
I was reading also in the article it was saying, well, that doesn't mean that he could not be a candidate for Pope, because they were thinking that he was going to retire, but even though they retire from, I don't know how they retire from their priesthood or whatever, but he could still be part of any future conclave up until 80 or something like that.
Wow. Wow, let's see. Report on Peter Turkson. 2 days ago, Vatican Insider reports of Cardinal Peter Turkson's resignation credible. Cardinal Peter Turkson's tenure as prefect of the Dicastery of Promoting Integral Human Development may be coming to an end. Various Vatican sources told CNA that a certain report by a traditionalist blog claiming that Turkson was set to resign is credible. Turkson has been in this position since August 31st of 2016. His five-year term mandate expired in September, so it was taken for granted that he would confirm for a second mandate. As an unwritten rule, it's a silent consensus and no communication is given of the renewal of their mandate. However, Cardinal Turkson has a long-term career in Curia before taking over the position in the Integral Human Development. He served as the president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace beginning in 2009. He is therefore on his third term in the Curia. Wow. Let me see. Well, let me say this. I'm going to put this on the record, and I want you guys to write this down. I told you it's going to be a changing of the guards. It's going to be a changing of the guards. You watch for all over the world. It's going to be a change in a few minutes. It ain't going to be too many more days. In a few minutes. He was born in 1948. So it's getting ready to be a changing of the guards, I'm telling you. You know? changing of the guards. So he's already 73. This is interesting, you guys. This is interesting. And they said that the Pope that we have now, he's in his 80s. I think he's 86. Whew. We just got to watch. Ain't nothing you can say. We got to watch.
I was just wondering if there was something going on. Well, like you said, there's a change of the guards happening, and maybe he's getting ready to make some kind of move, because they said that he's still eligible for any conclave until he's 80.
Wow. That's deep. Now, let me say something. When you see that happen, Lord have mercy, it's time to go home. Yes, indeed. He's from Ghana. He was born in 1948. He said, burial of the first black pope. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. They said he would be the first one if they ever had one. They have a list of them now. It's set up for the next conclave. And it says, who will be the next pope? 8 main candidates. My gosh. This is our choice based on our analysis and decades of experience in reporting on the Vatican. The list is alphabetical. They have Marc Ouellet, Pietro Parolin, Oscar Rodriguez, Maradaglia, Robert Serra, Christoph Chaborn, Antonio Taglin, Peter Turkson, Matteo Zuppi. And they have all of them according to age. One is born in 44. One is born in 55. One is born in 42. One is born in a black one, Robert Serra is from Guinea. He's born in 45. Christopher Chaborn, Australia, in 1945. So they all around the same age. One's from the Philippines. He's born in 57. And then you got Turkson from Ghana, born in 48. And Matteo Zuppi from Italy, born in 1955. That's something. I mean, they're bringing up the what-ifs. Why would they be bringing up candidates already? What's happening to the one that we have already? It says candidates need to be male and baptized. For the last century, the cardinals have been choosing the next pope from among themselves. There are about 120 electors. Cardinals younger than 80 years of age. Will the next pope be black? Oh, Lord. About 12% of the college cardinals have a black skin color. A black pope is therefore possible. Peter Turkson from Ghana has the best chance. Wait. Hey, sis, hey, man, that's a lot. I mean, yes, indeed. I told you it's getting ready to be a changing of the guards all the way around. From America to England to Rome, it's getting ready to be a changing of the guards. You watch what I tell you. We on our way home. This stuff got to happen. We've been talking about Turkson for the last 10 years. They say he might be the next one. Oof. Man, if that happens, Turkson has long been known to be papayable, as is the Italian term for someone who has a chance of being pope. From the word, from the Italian word papa, equal pope. It may have something to do with the fact that the non-specialized press pushes for a black pope, as that would look modern. Like many African prelates, Turkson is quite conservative in moral matters. He is certainly a critical of neoliberalism. Cardinal Turkson has worked out a proposal to reform the international financial system by creating a kind of global government authority and a World Bank that takes into account the interests of all developing countries. He criticizes the current structure of the International Monetary Fund and other institutions. I don't know, you guys, what you think about that one. That's a game changer right there, boy. Woo. Well, you know what they said they was trying to pick him this time, but they said the world wasn't ready for it. He was really supposed to be it this time, but they said the world wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if his move has anything to do with the fact that so many of the American Israelites are trying to do like a return to Ghana, even just for like the holiday trip is a big thing right now. But they're imposing those COVID restrictions on them, and many people are not happy with the leadership over there. I don't know if he's trying to get into the political arena where maybe the politics and religion will eventually meet.
Oh, I'm sure. No doubt. That's wrong. I mean, you got to understand that's wrong. I don't have no doubt about that, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear about what you were going to talk about the tribes. I mean, Peter Turkson thing was just something that popped up last night, and I was like, okay, let's just see if you had heard.
Well, you know what? This isn't a light thing at all whatsoever. This is not a light thing whatsoever because, you know, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, like I said, we've been watching this for a long time. And for him to move into that position, it would make a whole lot of sense. You know, not only him moving into the position, but also, you know, somebody else moving in the position over the head of the UN. You know, we'll see how that play out. You know, so we'll see because this is prophecy. We all in the Book of Daniel now. I mean, you know, this is having to happen. So we'll see what happens. You know, because this is all you got to think about how fast the world is moving into this one world system. They like he said, he believes in one world currency, one world bank. You know, the I was watching a clip about how Bishop, I think his last name was Ellis. Bishop Ellis was a Roman Catholic Pope. He was black. He was instrumental in bringing back in the Protestant black church under the papal rule. Because if you notice, if you watch a lot of these churches now, they mimic the Catholic Church. The bishop installation mimics it. They all look like the Catholic Church. They have on the same outfits. So they're slowly but surely bringing them under one umbrella so that we can have a one world religion. So all this is biblical. It has to happen. God's word is not going to come back void. It's not, under no circumstances. And we can't stop it. All we can do is watch it. We watch it. We recognize it. We pray. We fast like we have in this prayer this weekend on the Sabbath. We pray and we fast and we crying out to y'all to deliver us from and bring us back because we have to go back. We are the key. We're the key to starting the clock. You know, so this is it. When the players start to repositioning themselves on the board, then you understand that everybody's getting in position. They are. And that's real. So I thank you for that information. I will definitely be watching and waiting and checking. And because my next question is, what about the Pope that's already in there? What is he doing? Is he sick? Are they getting ready to get a new Pope? Because remember, they said he had resigned a long time ago. Let me see.
Wow.
Let's see. Who will be the next Pope 2021? How many are they doing the conclave in 2020? No, because 2021 is over. Hold on. The Pope conclave, the next conclave. I don't know when they're gonna do the next one. Because his must be coming to an end. I mean, because why would they even bring this up? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I thought that when you're the Pope, you're the Pope for life. And that's why his predecessor was like, it was a big to-do when he resigned.
Right, right. That is true. But evidently it's not going that way anymore. We don't know.
That's
I don't
true.
Know.
Like they're trying to work out an agenda somehow.
Yeah. Who will be the next Pope after Francis? When will they? What's wrong with Francis? Wait a minute. Here we go. Here we go. Let's see. It says, I don't know. It says Pope Francis' successor. Check out this list of potential popes. When Pope Benedict the, what is that, 10, 5, 15, the 16th, retired in 2013, it was a historical move in the history of the Vatican. His successor, Pope Francis, has mentioned numerous times how he finds it honorable Pope Benedict stepped down due to his age. Now many are wondering if Francis is thinking the same idea and joining a list of popes to resign from the position. Let's go down and see. Because he had already talked about he was finished. Many believe, during an interview on a Mexican TV station in 2014, Pope Francis said that he was looking into having a short papacy of only 5 years. Many believe this means come January of 2021, Pope Francis will be stepping down for his position. However, over his tenure, Francis has added 51 cardinal electors. Does this list of new cardinals electors include a new pope? That's interesting. Well, we'll see what we see. We're going to see. You guys keep your eyes and ears open.
Gonna watch it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Not only that, England, too. England too. Watch England. Watch them.
Oh yes, yes. Well, and Biden. I had a dream where he and his wife drank some poisonous Kool-Aid or something.
Oh my goodness. I hope not. But you know what? He's old. They said Biden is 86.
Hmm.
You know.
Well, he's the oldest president we had. I know that much.
Yeah, and they talking about Kamala Harris. Like, what in the world are we going to do? You know, but he's not 86. He's 79. He just 7. They said he was born in 42. So he's 79. But they were saying what happens with him because everybody's worried about his health. You know, what happens if something happened to him? Can we really stomach Kamala or whatever? Whatever her name is, Harris.
Kamala. You don't hardly hear from her.
And the president.
I'm like, she's one vice president you hardly hear from.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. When she wasn't laughing all the time, you know, so yeah. But watch it, I'm telling you, when it happens, it's going to change all over. It's going to shock everybody because it's going to be a change. And everybody's going to have to prepare for the change because it's coming. It's definitely going to be a changing of the guard. It's coming. You know? Because Elizabeth been around a long time, but shit, Elizabeth, what, 90? 96? Is she 90? How old is Queen Elizabeth? You know, she up there. And one thing about Father Time, you can't stop him. For real. You really can't. No. Queen Elizabeth's age, she is 95. She was born in 26. Woo! Goodness gracious. That's a long time. Yes. If she makes it to her birthday next year, she'll be 96. I mean, 90 anything is a blessing, but geez. You know, that's a lot. Well, here we go. Hey, we can't stop y'all's program. It's going to be what it's going to be, and nobody is going to stop it. That's why we consistently letting everybody know it's time to get ready to go home. It's time, you know, it's time to unplug from all of this stuff. It's time to really be, it's time to listen. You guys done listen to church. They done sang it to you, danced it to you. They put it on videotape, VCR, all kind of stuff, CDs for you to play it at home. You know, the motivational speech is nice. When it's attached to the music, it's emotional. But now it's time to pay attention so we can get ready to go home because that's where we're headed is home. We're headed home. And that's something that we have to understand. We're headed home. So I wanted to establish something because, you know, there's some issues with, you know, they say we lying and it ain't the truth and the blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to pull up an article. I'm just going to ask Google what color were the ancient Egyptians. Let's see what Google says. All right, here we go. There's controversy over the color of the ancient Egyptians. Now, I don't understand why there's controversy because there's enough hieroglyphics to be able to tell you what color these people were. And we're going to deal with that because we're going to have to be able to understand when you pull up and they're saying that nobody wants to admit now, but everybody that I ask, they're able to say these was black people. Even white people say that. The ancient Egyptians were black. They were coal black. You know, and you can't hide it no matter what happens. So, if the ancient Egyptians were considered to be black, I'm going to read a scripture to you. We're going into 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And we're going to go to verse 14. And it says, now concerning Moshe, the man of Yah, his sons were named of the tribe of Levi. So Levi was a man, and Levi was one of the sons of Jacob. Now Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So Levi was a man, and out of Levi came the tribe of Levi, the children, the descendants, the offspring. That's what that means. The children, the descendants, the offspring. First Chronicles says that Moses, was from the tribe of Levi. Levi and all of this is dealing with the children of Israel. Now, if you go into Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about, we know that Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water, and she gave him to his mother for the mother to nurse him and wean him off the breast. And then it says in Exodus 2:10, and the child grew, And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, which we say Moshe, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, if this is Pharaoh's daughter, royalty, Egyptian royalty, then he would be Pharaoh's grandson. And if the ancient Egyptians were black, then Moshe had to be black to be able to pass as Pharaoh's grandson. That's common sense. We don't need nobody to come and talk about DNA. We don't need scientists. We don't need labs, and we don't need them to tell us what group we was from in the Congos, and all that's nice. But we just going to leave it plain and simple so that there is no misunderstanding. These are the things that we have to be able to put into play. All right, so we're going to go here. All right. Let me go here so we can get this in here, because I want to be able to give you this scripture as well. We're going to deal with as many as we can so that we make sure that we understand who we are dealing with. Okay? Okay, and I'm trying to find the scripture that I need for him, but I'll keep going. Let's deal with Paul. Here we go. We're going to deal with Paul. Remember, because Paul is one of the biggest characters in Christianity. Oh, it's what Paul said. Paul is this. Paul. So let's see where Paul came from. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. This is his credentials. He says, I say then, has Yah cast away his people? Yah forbid. He said God, but we call him Yah. For I also am an Israelite. Oh, no, Paul is an Israelite. Paul is an Israelite, a Hebrew Israelite. He said, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And we're going to back it up again. Benjamin was a man. These are the tribe of Benjamin, are his offspring, his descendants, his children's children. These are what makes up a tribe. So all of the people, all of the Gentiles that are following Paul's teaching, it is still a Hebrew Israelite that is doing the teaching. It is a Hebrew Israelite that is helping you to understand what this thing is all about. Paul is the one. All right, let's see. Let me go in here. Let's type this in. Hold on. All right, here we go. It says, here we go. We're going to ask, what color are the Ethiopians? If you Google it, they'll tell you that the Ethiopians are black. The Ethiopians are black. They are from the lineage of Ham. They are the Hamites. Let's go see what happened with Paul. Acts chapter 21, verse 38. It says, art thou the Egyptian, which before these days matteth uproar and letteth out into the wilderness? 4,000 men that were murdered? Hold on, let me go back. I want to bring up the whole chapter. We're even talking about the Egyptians. It says, and as, we're in Acts 21. We're going to start at 36. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. And as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, can thou speak Greek? He said, do you know how to speak our language? Art thou that Egyptian? Oh, so they mistook Paul as an Egyptian too. Says, what color are the Egyptians? They black. So then that means that the tribe of Benjamin is also a black hue of people. We got the Levites that was mistaken as an Egyptian. We got Paul that was mistaken as an Egyptian. And both of these are two different tribes. Two different sons of Jacob. Let's see what else we have. Oh, let's go into the Song of Solomon. Let's see. Solomon, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, 5, verse 5 and 6. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tent of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children are angry with me. They made me keepers of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Oh, he said, I'm black. Well, what tribe was Solomon from? Solomon was the son of King David. And it is clear that King David is from the tribe of Judah or Yehuda. That's another tribe of Israel. As another black person, these people are black. The original Hebrew Israelite people are black. What color was the Messiah? Oh, this is going to be a problem, but we got to ask the problem. What color was he? Oh, my goodness. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. Let's see what it says. It says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Oh, so if he came from the tribe of Judah, he's got to be black. Have three different tribes, three different sons, three different offspring from Jacob. Each one of them was mistaken as an Egyptian. Each one of them is, and Solomon clearly says he's black. King David was black. The Most High was black. The Messiah was black. All these people were black people, period. So no, we're not lying. No, it's real plain and simple. And no, we're not telling a lie. The children of Israel are black people. Now, you can go to any African. Any African that is from any Hamite, let me say that. You can go to any Hamite and ask them, is there a difference between the Hamite and the Negro? And they will tell you absolutely there is. Because we are from Shem, and we are not from Ham. We are from Shem, and we are people of color. So every time you open up the book and you read Romans chapter 11, or you refer to Paul. Paul was an Israelite. Paul was led to teach the Gentile. Paul was an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a black man mistaken as an Egyptian. Some people say it was Ethiopian, but the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites are all considered offsprings of Ham. Hamite, the one who predominantly populates Africa, the land of Ham. These people are black. Not hard to figure out. The hieroglyphics do not lie. If you pull up the hieroglyphics of the Egyptians, they were dark-skinned people. We don't have to lie. We don't have to trick you. We don't have to go through those changes. We don't even need a scientist or any from DNA to be. The Bible tells you what color these people are. We can establish this right in the Word. This is very important to know. It's not necessary to argue with people, not that you have to anyway, but you have to be able to walk them through the Scriptures and show them what the Scripture says. It doesn't matter who's living in Egypt now. It doesn't make any difference. We have Caucasian people and Caucasian Chinese people living in Africa. It doesn't matter. And even though they call themselves Africans, they are still not considered to be Hamites. They are not. They have just named themselves after the continent. It has nothing to do with the way that the land was distributed by the Most High. This is important to know. We have to be able to know that. Because people are so busy calling themselves after the land that they don't really understand what this is about. And this is the reason why we have to continually teach these things, because people want to make up their own realities. It is not, we are the children of Israel. We are the ones that scattered all over the world. We are the ones that still in bondage. It is nobody else, and it doesn't matter who's living in the land. No matter. It doesn't matter. We have to be able to understand that. Very important to know that. Anybody have any questions, please feel free to push one. You know, because it's, you get so tired of people arguing with you. And they're the ones who get all the TV time. They make sure they get all the YouTube time so that they can spend this lot that's been going on. But the Most High is bringing back truth. It doesn't matter if you believe it or if you don't. No, we have to be able to understand that. So I wanted to make sure that I brought that out. And guess what? The Most High, the land, and the people are all His. He did the choosing. It's not us. He chose us to be His people. But the children of Israel, the true children of Israel, are black people. Now they're calling us the ancient Israelites. You can call us whatever you want to call us. Now everybody's changing their conversation and saying, well, the ancient Israelites. You can call us ancient Israelites, old Israelites, new Israelites. We still are the children of Israel. We're His children, still, this day. I know it's hard to accept. Some people don't want to accept it. Some people have a hard time dealing with it, but it is the truth. And there's nothing else anybody can do about it. It is the truth. And we know Solomon was black. We know Paul was black. And we know Moshe was black. And if Moshe was black, then Aaron was black. And their sister was black. And all of them, and they're the ones in charge of the Levi tribe. Those are the ones that were designated by the Most High to run His temple. All of those were black people. The tribe of Benjamin, black. If you go down into Acts 21, the same chapter, it's verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarshish, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, suffer to me to speak unto the people. And when they had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. We have a lot of things to look forward to. This is not our language. So, I mean, I just wanted to put that out there. I wanted to make sure that you, I hope you guys have written the scriptures down so that you can be able to lay the foundation with, because you don't need DNA tests. You don't need nobody to tell you that. 23andMe and all that. That we were black people. They were black people. And that was that. And you know why they always want to control the narrative? Well, how do we know that they're the Israelites? Because you know we are. Anybody have any questions? Anybody have a comment or anything about yesterday's class or anything? You know, because we got to be able to stop arguing with people. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. It is. It's so sad. You know, and you can't chalk it up anymore about they don't know. It's too much information out there for them not to know that. They don't want to know it. Now, you know, and 1 + 1 still equals 2 from where I'm from. It still does. Now, are there people in our land professing to be us? Absolutely they are. And guess what? They're going to stay there because they have a part to play. And the Most High wrote the story, and they're going to play their part. Yes, absolutely. And the reason why a lot of these church people don't want to say nothing is because they're afraid of losing their status, or they're afraid of losing their things, or they're afraid of losing whatever they have, because a lot of these churches are supported by the same people that are living in our land today. They are. They really are. So they're not going to acknowledge it. They're not going to admit it, and they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And they are. So they'll get on YouTube and say it's all a lie, it ain't real, it's nothing we need to discuss, because they'll say anything to be able to keep what they have. But there's a day coming. Yes, it is. There's a day coming that all of that's going to change. There's a day coming when the Most High is going to call them to the carpet. There's a day coming when all the deception will be exposed. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it. I really don't. He said not one of us would be left behind. I don't know how he's going to do that. Or left in these lands. I don't know how he's going to do that. But it's got to be something that he's going to do that's going to be miraculous. Can you imagine one day I don't even know. I don't even want to make no scenarios because I don't know. It's got to be something that's going to be powerful. He said not one would be left in the land. You know? I don't know how you're going to do that. Powerful stuff. You know? But we're getting prepared. And that's what this is all about. We're getting prepared to get ready to get out of here. All praises be to the Most High Yah. And that's what we're doing now is getting you. Don't go by what you see. Because like I said, you got to unplug yourself from all this stuff. You really do. You have to unplug yourself because you can get caught up in the everyday mundane and it becomes so normal. It becomes so normal that you believe nothing's going to happen. You know, the same way with the vaccine and the mandate. You know, I've been telling everybody to pray, trust Yah, trust Yah. Now it seems like they're trying to bring it back again. This is the time when we really knuckle down and we need to go before the Most High. Everybody. If you all want to pray with us, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, and if you want to pray with us, this is the time when we come together and we go before the Most High and really begin to cry out and pray. Now they're talking about they got till January the 10th. Every time you turn around, it's a whole new date set. You know, where they're trying to bring it back and make it mandatory. But you know what the companies are doing now? Everybody's going down to 99 employees. Start a new company. Start an extension of a company. Split them up. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Shalom, shalom, shalom. And you're right. It is time to pray. But that's all we gotta do is just pray. You know, they know what it is. They know who we are. They know all of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They know. They've been watching. You know, they've been watching us, Brother Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. They've been watching, and they know. You know. But it is. And why don't you tell them about the prayer, since we on the line? Give us some insight about that.
Well, the prayer is going to be an interactive prayer, and I really want everybody to try to bring at least one person with them. It's a very serious prayer. Trust me, you know, if you haven't got a copy of it yet, it's going to touch some emotions. When we pray, we got to really pray like we speak into Yahuwah. We got to really pray like we speak into the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, everybody wants to leave. Everybody wants to get out. We're not going to go into his time. But he did say in his word that when my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray, and that's what we need to do. We need to really humble ourselves and really sincerely say, we're sorry for what we did, what our ancestors did, the whole nine yards. We need to do this. But that's what the prayer is going to be about. It's going to be a little longer than most prayers. Most things that we do is not going to be a two-minute thing. There's going to be a prelude to it. And there's also going to be out of Second Kings chapter 8, the reading from the prayer of King David, of what he said to remember us in the land of our captivity. I just hope that everybody can take at least one day this week, at least one day, and just fast at least one day this week. Be ready for this prayer. While they out celebrating their pagan holiday, we're going to be praying and repenting.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. Now, tell them, give me information about what day it's going to be, what time we're going to pray, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I forgot it. The prayer itself is going to be on December the 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's actually going to commence. We're going to try to wait on everybody. I know some of y'all slow, but we plan on starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be held on the same line that we do the Sabbath classes.
Okay. All right. And do they need to bring anything with them? Is there anything they need to provide?
No, ma'am. Provide your heart, your blessing, and the prayer itself. For those who are participating, need to contact Sister Yaina, because I don't think y'all have my stuff, but contact Sister Yaina, and she will provide you a copy of the prayer. It'll be good for you to look at the prayer before we pray, so that you can kind of familiarize yourself with what we're doing, and kind of also get yourself prepared for what it is that we got to do.
All right, it sounds like me. And guess what? If you don't have a copy of the prayer, you can email me at the Yehuda Project, and it's T-H-E, Tom Harry Edward. Yehuda is spelled Y is in yellow, E is in Edward, H is in Harry, U is in umbrella, D is in David, A is in apple, H is in Harry. Project is P is in Paul, R is in Rachel, O is in Oscar, J is in Jeffrey, E is in Edward, C is in Charles, T is in Thomas, at gmail.com. The Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and I will send you a copy of the prayer so that you will be able to have it. Because if there ever was a time that we need to pray, it's right now. I mean, we keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, you know, and it's like, wow. You know, we got to be able to understand that. We got to know, you know, that the Most High is here. You know, and that he's ready to deliver. There's a date of deliverance coming. There's a date. Just like we watching all this other stuff happening, there's a date. And they don't want to let us go.
So, Shane, I want to say one thing, then I'll be quiet. One more thing, I'll be quiet. You know, a lot of us look at ourselves as insignificant sometimes. We're not insignificant. The Most High waiting on us. We don't know what that date is. We don't know. How do we know that if we don't come together and give up, if we do come together and give all our hearts and cry and pray the way we should, how do you know that that next day ain't the last day? You don't know
that's
that.
That's true.
We gotta put forth the effort, because these are things that are written in His Word, and
yes,
we have yet any of our groups to come together and actually just cry out and say we're sorry. We did it in 2019 at the end of the 400 years, but as far as groups coming together, we haven't done it.
That's true. That is the truth. That is so very true. That is really true. And we try. We are really trying, because He promised He was going to gather us. He promised He was going to gather us. You know, and we just have to hold on to that promise. He promised He was going to come and get us. He was going to gather us out of these lands. You know, now, and it doesn't matter whether we come together as an Israelite nation or what, because I don't know how He's going to make that happen. You know, I don't know how He's going to make that happen. But no matter who you're with, it's time to pray. You know, I think the problem is there's so many different teachings out there about what's going to happen next and where we're going after this, that a lot of people are kind of sitting on the edge of their seat trying to decide who and what they're going to believe, you know, and prayer can't hurt anything. Prayer, ask the Most High to give you clear understanding as to what you need to do, because you're going to have to make a choice for your own family. And it is never my desire to lead anybody astray, because I'm praying for my own self. Please make it clear, because give me the wisdom, because I don't want to ever say anything out of my mouth or do anything to lead anybody astray. You know? So we have to be able to understand that this is critical times now. It's becoming critical now that this information is out there, that we know what we need to do. It's critical. When you start seeing the players on the board repositioning themselves, and all the things that we've seen, the shutdowns and the whole nation shutting down and everything, they're getting prepared. Man, I'm telling y'all think I'm playing. When Queen Elizabeth leaves, the whole game's going to change. You watch what I tell you. You think I'm playing? I'm telling you. That is going to be a serious game changer. That is not no joke. You know, these are people that the Most High has put. These are royalties that He has put in position over these nations and allowed these people to rule during their Gentile reign. Irregardless of whether you believe it, irregardless of whether you understand it, irregardless to what you, whatever, they play vital roles and vital positions in the positions that they have. So when the old guards leave and you got the new ones coming in, it's a whole new agenda. This ain't no joke, I'm telling you. You got to think about all the things that they have been a part of and seen. And you're talking about 95 years? And the reason why I say this, you got to think about it like this. There was something about the Egyptians. And you know, they are now saying that they believe that the Egyptian pantheons and the Egyptian leaders were not human. They're saying that now. You can find it on the History Channel, all kind of that Akhenaten and some of the other ones, they weren't considered to be human. They were giants, basically. You know, if you see some of the hieroglyphics of Akhenaten and Queen T and their children and all that kind, when you look at them, they are big people. When you look at them sitting down and the servants are the size of their chairs, but when they stand up, they stand and the people look like grasshoppers. These were beings that were not 100% human. They were, what do you call them, descendants of the demigods. Let's put it like that. But there was something about the Egyptians that the Most High felt like that we would be safe under when we went under them. In spite of all the other leaders and the kings and all the other people, he would send us down into Egypt. He sent Joseph down into Egypt. And then when the Messiah was born and Herod was killing all the boys, husband took her down into Egypt. They went into Egypt so that they could be in Egypt and be safe. So there was an element of safety that was among those group of people during that time that the Most High felt safe sending the Israelites into. It's the same way with now. There's an element that these leaders have now, or let me say a boundary or restriction that they won't cross. And that they have taken their royal positions serious to the point where there's a certain level of honor that goes with that, if that makes any sense. And now age has hit the guards, the old guards now, to the point where they're about to leave and we getting ready to get some new people in. The whole thing getting ready to change. Getting ready to change. Same way what happened with Joseph. What brought about the captivity of the children of Israel? The old Pharaoh died and a new Pharaoh came in. He didn't know nothing about Joseph. The Bible tells you that. The old Pharaoh died and the new Pharaoh moved in who didn't know nothing about Joseph. And he was afraid that the children of Israel were multiplying too fast. Well, guess what? That was his position that he had to play. Now the tables was turned. That's all I'm telling you is to look out. As we live, as we keep on living, like my grandmother always say, if you just keep on living, you're going to see a whole lot of changes being made real quick. Real quick. So this prayer is necessary. Every prayer is necessary. But this one is necessary. This is some serious stuff. It's necessary. You know, because Egypt played a vital role into us going out into the wilderness and also the things that we had to endure there. You know, and all you just got to watch all around the world, things are getting ready to take a shift. And all you can do at this point is pray. That the Most High help us to get through it, that we watch it with our own eyes and be ready to go when the time comes. Because it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. It's not. It's not going to be the same. You know, there's a different level of, and you know, it's just a different level of integrity, everything. I'm not saying that the people that's coming now aren't integral. I'm not saying they have a different role to play. They play a different role. So it's getting ready to get interesting. It is. You know, and it's going to be a lot of things seen and done during this time. So, you know, it doesn't matter what camp you're from. It doesn't matter what church you're from. If you want to pray with us, you know, email us and we will definitely send you the prayer. We can hold as many as 1,000 people on our call. You're welcome to come on the call and pray with us. Fast with us one day a week. He's just saying one day out of the week, give a fast. You know, give it, restrict yourself from something. And be ready to pray. You know, be ready to go before the Most High. If it's no more than for that mandate shot, that shot. Because these courts is flipping back and forth like candy. And one minute it's illegal, the next minute it ain't. One minute they can't do it, the next minute they can. One minute you got to get a new job, the next minute you don't. People are tired of that. It's time to pray. You know, it's time. We got to be able to give the Most High our undivided attention. You know, and as I pray today, I like, y'all, you know, I've been telling the people forever to trust you, trust Yah. Don't look at man, trust Yah. And man wants you to believe that he's in control, but we know he's not. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Daniel chapter 4, I think it's 4:17. He rules in the kingdom of men. But guess what? You got to ask him. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Ask him. What do we do now? We don't want to take this shot. We don't want to be shot up with this stuff. Deliver us from all of this evil. Because every time you turn around, it's a new variant out. They got another boogeyman to scare you with. They said the hospitals is full again. Certain states is going on lockdown that they're not telling you about on the news. Whole cruise ships. People got COVID. They restricted to their rooms. People that's been vaccinated. Whole cruise ships stuck out there with people with COVID. It's time to pray. It really is. It's time to pray. Like you have never prayed before. Because it seems like everything is just tossed up in the air. Wherever it go, whatever way it land is the way it go. It's crazy. But in order for the Most High to do what he said he going to do, this has to happen. Got to happen. You don't know what to do anymore. It's like, okay, do I do this or do I do that? Do I stand still or do I, what do I do? And that's what you got to go before the Most High. And the Most High is going to tell you what to do. You know? It's time now. We're getting there. And it don't even seem like the Christmas spirit ain't even in it no more. It's just gone. Everything is just blah. Like, well, okay. Whatever. You know. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm glad that you brought this topic up. I was actually listening to someone last night who was saying that we aren't the people, that the Irish are the people, and they were the ones that are enslaved, and they are the ones that fit the prophecies. And I was going, well, now, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you said,
before.
Yes, and pushing it hard. Some people are pushing it hard. But the thing is, the scriptures are true. And with regard to Queen Elizabeth, I think it's important when you talk about the passing of the guard, because she says that she's a descendant of King David, if I remember correctly. And I think she also is supposed to have a royal stone. It's supposed to be like a proof of her descending from King David. But the fact is she's not a descendant of King David. And the real descendants of King David are the ones who are going to ascend that throne. And so when she moves out of the way, to me it's symbolic, but it's also literal. She leaves the rightful people who are to occupy the throne of King David are the ones who are going to be there. And so to me that's one of the significant things about her, about her leaving that position. So the other, there was another thing too that you had mentioned. This is not about color. This is something I hear all the time. Oh, Israelites, all they want is an identity. They just want something that just gives them a sense of who they are. No, I know exactly who I am. I knew it before. I have a very clear sense of who I am. I'm very comfortable with my identity prior to learning that I was an Israelite. All it did was solidify in my mind exactly who I am. But the thing is that it's really significant that we know who the Israelites are, because the fact that they keep putting these false images up of someone who's the antithesis, basically, of what the true Messiah is and who the true people are, means that people are not, they're looking for a fulfillment of prophecy in something that's not true. It also keeps us from actually asking for our deliverance. And so that's one of the things. Yeah, it's really a deep deception that's been perpetrated. As long as that can continue, it's like, we don't do what the Most High said that we were supposed to do, which was call out to him as his people, if my people. So you have all of these other people calling and saying all of this stuff. Nothing changes. But when we call, that's when things change. But as long as they can keep us convinced that we are not the people, we don't do what we've been told to do. So we are not able to obey in the way that the Most High says that we need to obey to see the changes that are going to come forth. And also, we are the key to prophecy. When we want to know what's happening in the world, look to us. That is going to be the determinant of what's going on in this world. When we went to Washington, D.C., we said, it seemed like nothing happened. But shortly thereafter, it's like, man, it's It's been going full steam ahead ever since. People don't understand what's going on, but it's lining up with the prophecies. When you look at Deuteronomy 28, who fits the prophecy? It says, this will be a sign on you forever.
Yep,
this
sure
is the thing. You know, when people say, oh, you don't fit the prophecies, they always want to go to Deuteronomy 28 and 68. We don't have to go to 28 and 68. Look down through those prophecies. The prophecy was this: if you obey, you are going to be blessed. You are not blessed in your disobedience. People are saying, oh, the person who was talking about the Irish are the descendants, the blessings of Yah. No, if you are not in compliance with the Most High said, the blessings are not going to fall on you. That makes him a lie. He says that if you don't obey, these are the things that are going to happen. So show me the people who are obeying in our land. Show me the people who are obeying who said, we're the people. If you're not obeying, the blessings are not supposed to be with you. The curses are supposed to be with you, because that is the thing that's going to be a sign. If you obey, then you get the blessing. But if you're not obeying, those curses will fall, and they fall continuously. It's not like all one at one time. You see them unfolding a generation after generation after generation, because he says it's going to be a sign forever. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. So at the point where we turn around and start obeying, we see a reversal in the lives of the people that I know as they obey those laws, statutes, and commandments. There's a blessing that comes with that. That's the way you offset a curse. Sure, there were curses, but that curse can be negated because the Most High said, if you do these things, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to bless you. Obey the laws, statutes, and commandments. But if you're not doing that, no blessings. If you are a people who are blessed and you are violating those laws, statutes, and commandments, you are not the people.
That's true. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. There's a whole lot. It's a whole lot of things. I mean, you know, it's all of that, what you said, is absolutely correct. I agree 100%. It is definitely necessary. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see. And you know, one thing we don't have to do is argue with anybody, because the Most High knows his people. He knows
That's
his
right.
people. He don't have to argue with anyone. All you got to do is tell him, well, when it's all over, we'll see who's left standing.
That's right.
Because he knows his people. It's going to be an ugly situation. It's sad.
Well, it's going to be ugly in this sense that we are the people. And there are prophecies that say that those who bless Israel, you're blessed. If you do not treat Israel right, there are things that are going to happen to you. And here again, people say, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to my children. But just like it unfolded over generations for us, it's going to unfold over generations for those people who have mistreated the people of the Most High. So, no, people want them to be Irish. They want them to be the people in the land, because, oh, then that means that it can't be those people. We don't have to have any accountability for how we've treated that group of people. But if they are the people, oh, there's going to be a payment that no one wants to make. But it's not dependent on us. It's dependent on their behavior. And if people want to continue, they're just going to compound what has already been done. And a lack of acknowledgement doesn't negate the truth.
So. That's true. He knows us. He knows his people. He knows who he's waking up. He knows what's in our heart. He knows. There's no more deception that needs to be done. There's no more imitations. There's no more of that. There's no more slipping the wool over our eyes. There's no more of that. We know Jeremiah was black. We know Moshe was black. We know that Isaiah was black. We know Solomon was black. King David was black. We know those people were Negroes. Paul told you he was from the tribe of Benjamin. We know that. We know Hadassah. Esther was from the tribe of Benjamin. We know that. So do the people that are in Iran. They know that. They know that it was a black girl on that throne. They know that. They already know.
I was going to say, the people that shot off the nose of the Sphinx, they know that as well.
They know
who the people were. You know, I think it's very telling when they talk about how people are classified. When you come to the United States, if you're Egyptian, you're classified as white, no matter what you look like, because it perpetuates myths that it's white, but that's not true. I mean, I've seen where people say, we do not want to be classified as that. That is not who we are. That is not what we are. But they say, nope, that's what you are. And so people, it says, he who, you know, the person who has won historically is the one who writes the rules. So it's his story, and he says, that's what you are, because we want those people to be white, because we have to have that Messiah be who we want him to be. Otherwise, those curses that were on us reverse.
I agree.
And go elsewhere.
They know that, and it's causing a problem, because the Gentile has to recite the scripture that says, our fathers have inherited lies. You know? Yes, our fathers have inherited lies. It's Jeremiah 16:19. They got to say that. They got to be able to come to that conclusion. They have to be able to say that. And the only way they're going to say that is when they realize who the Most High people are, and he's the only one that's going to validate. He's going to validate that.
That's right. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that anyone that I know can do. All we do is wait. And here's the irony. When I listen to people, I listen to them because I don't want to be deceived. I am willing to consider what they say, but I'm willing to consider it in line with the Bible. And what I hear people saying doesn't line up. So I will take those scriptures, and I will look them up, and I will research. Because if it's true, I'll be disappointed, but I can accept it. I was willing to accept the Messiah regardless of how he presented before I knew I was an Israelite. It made me happy to know that, in fact, some of the things that we were experiencing actually were found in the Bible. I didn't have to make up, oh, this is why it's happening. I could read it in black and white. And see it, that it wasn't just me. It wasn't just my personal problem. It was reflective of the group as a whole. So even though some people don't have the same experiences, as a whole, we share a similar experience. And so I said, well, you know what? I believe what I read. I believed it before I knew. I believe it after I knew. And so that is where it is. And I still am of that opinion. I am willing to accept the truth, whatever it is. But I'm thankful that I truly know what the truth is, because I will be saying those prayers, because I want to be delivered from this captivity. It's a captivity of the mind. Even if you think you're free, if everything that you know is based on a lie and is basically a lie, that's not freedom, because you are not living truth. I'm not living truth.
That's true. That is so very true. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. So, you know, people say a lot of things. People have... Everybody wants to be us but us, but it's okay. You know, and you know what? I'm done with trying to understand why we don't get it, why we don't get it. I'm done with that. I'm just done with it. I will continue to do what he tells me to do. I will continue to put the information out there as much as I'm allowed to with what I have. But, I mean, you know, until the Most High wakes these people up and take the scales off of their eyes, they are enjoying the ride. They are enjoying the lifestyle that they're living. They're enjoying the stuff, and they're distracted, you know? And it's like, you know, after a while, when you've bought everything you can buy and you've driven everything you can drive, you realize that the only thing that really matters at the end of the day is family. At the end of the day, you know, you can have all the money in the world and be lonely. You can. You can have all the beauty in the world and still feel like you're alone. So all of those things don't, none of that stuff matters. You know, and when you look around and realize that the biggest family you have is the Hebrew Israelite family, because we're on our way. And man, look, I'm not going through it no more. I've come to this conclusion. If you want to deform your body and put all that stuff in your body, you just gonna have to remember one day there's not gonna be any doctors, there's not gonna be any plastic surgeons. You're gonna be stuck with that stuff in you and no way to get it out. You know, because we're not gonna be here to stay. We're not going to be here for you to go and play with your body like that. We're not. You're not going to be able to get the stuff out. You're going to be stuck with the way you look. You know, and we have to be able to understand that we have to separate ourselves from all of this foolishness, because the Most High does not condone any of this. But I'm done. I'm just done getting upset about it anymore. You know, it's just going from bad to worse. And there's nothing I can do about it. You know, it does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. You know, can we get them to pray? Half the time we can't. But, you know, they'll figure it out after a while. That some of the stuff you do, you're going to be stuck with. You're just going to be stuck with it. There's nothing nobody can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, you can talk, because everybody acts like they're mannequins, like they living in this fantasy world. Everybody's glamorous now. Everybody is a thug. Everybody is a rapper. Everybody want to be a gangster. Everybody, and you're just looking at these people like, are you kidding me? Do you realize how late in the hour it is? Do
no,
you
they
not
don't.
Know they all look the same? And all y'all girls look the same. If it ain't long braids down to your butt, you got long blonde weave down to your butt. If it ain't the fake fingernails, it's the fake eyelashes. If it ain't the drawn on eyebrow, everybody looks like mannequins. It is too late in the hour for that kind of stuff. You don't know what's getting ready to happen. You don't know what's going to happen to you and your children. You don't know nothing other than the right here and the right now. And you're going to be in for a rude awakening when it all hits. And you're going to go running to them pastors, and they ain't going to have no answer for you. They're not. This ain't a game. This is real life. This is real life.
It's
down right in front of our eyes. They shutting it down right in front of our eyes, and people don't even pay no attention. They are rioting all over the world right now over this mandate stuff. They are in the streets. Rioting right now all over the world over this mandate stuff. Still. And everybody want to be glamorous and bougie for the mess they see on TV. Mimicking. I've never seen a group of people like our people that mimic everything they see. They mimic everything they see. I seen a program where the guy had so many tattoos. He was a big guy. He had so many tattoos on his body. He looked like a superhero. Like he had on a superhero costume trying to be romantic. I said, that would scare the mess out of me for him to try to get intimate with somebody like that with all that neck tattoo. It's crazy. I mean, seriously. He did. He looked like he had a superhero costume on with all the colors. And it's like, oh, my God. What's wrong with him?
When the Messiah comes back, and he brings those that are coming with him, we will have the role models. There has been a concerted effort, I mean an all-out effort, to make sure that we do not have the kind of models, that the people that are put up in positions of power are disempowered, so that people say, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like the person who at least has some personal agency, at least with the self-expression, I can express who I am. But the thing is for so long, we have been so very much limited in terms of how it is that we see ourselves as a people. And that has been deliberate. And we have not had the power, even when people have tried to do things to offset it, we've not had the type of power that's been wielded. Because look, Satan is a prince of the air, airwaves. We talk about the radio. We talk about the television. We talk about the Internet, all of these different things. And then you have a group of people that are trying to offset that. Until that power is overturned, it's going to be an uphill battle. But the Most High says, as you said, no one will be left behind. And I think about some people who say, well, my sister has told me, I don't know if it's good to be awake or not, because sometimes knowing and just going, when will this change? She says, maybe it's better sometimes to just be asleep. And the Most High may be very, very, very merciful and just let people continue until it's time for them to wake up right around the time it's time to get out of here, so that they just will not be made even more miserable than they are already.
Absolutely. I mean, seriously. You know, it's like, no, you know. It's like, oh, my gosh, what are our people turning into? You know, it's like, wow, it's almost like they're turning them into robots. They're mannequins. They don't look real no more. And it's like, what in the world is going on? You know, that you take the time. Look, don't even get me started on that. I just, you know, we are really praying. I mean, for real, but you got to wake up. It's too late in the game for this. It is. You need to start paying attention. You know, that's the one thing when I was raising my children, I made sure they did. Pay attention to your surroundings. Don't get so caught up in the good time. You know, we used to play a game when they came home from school. And you might think it's strange, but I was always a person that was conscious of my surroundings. Even as a teenager, I was a serious person. I made sure I paid attention. And we used to play a game when they came home from school just to make sure that the house was safe. When you turn that key and walk, what are you looking for that's out of place? Pay attention when you come through that door and make sure there's nobody in that house with you. Don't get so caught up in your surroundings that you're not paying attention to your surroundings. Pay attention. And you know what I'm going to tell the young people today? Pay attention to your surroundings. Look at what's going on in the world. Y'all so busy dancing and twerking and jigabooing and doing all you not paying attention. And when you look up, you're going to be, oh, they can't do that. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They throw a little money at you and you gone, jiggy-boo. Pay attention. You need to know what about your surroundings. Don't go nowhere with you. I used to tell my girls all the time, when you're invited somewhere to somebody's house, you pay attention to the exit doors, how you going to get in and how you going to get out. When you go somewhere and there's a party, pay attention to your exits and why you can get in and where you. If you want in a one-way in and one-way out, don't go in there. Pay attention. They just don't. It's like sheep led to the slaughter. You know? And it's like, you know, how do you know? I don't know. They so busy watching these folks on TV with all this hair strolling down their back. They done bought so much weave, they could buy a whole house with the weave and the wigs and the stuff they done bought. It's just ridiculous. It is. And the men, so they don't care about it. At least you look good, long as you don't look like me. Woo! Oh, my goodness. You know, that's why I tell everybody, take one day a week. And I know I ain't your mama, but I'm going to play mama today. Take one day a week and just disconnect. Cut the phone off. Cut the computer off. Cut the TV off. And spend time with your children. Sit down and listen to them. Sit down and have dinner together. Sit down and listen to their day. Spend time with your children. Don't let nobody interrupt that time. Just start out with one day a week. Shut everything down and talk to each other. Don't text nobody. Don't call nobody. Don't do none of that. Cook dinner. If you want to cook dinner together, let them help you. Sit down and communicate with your children and your family. Do that just one day a week and see what the difference makes. Cut everything off, because that's the only way they get to you is you have to allow it. You have to cut it on. You have to connect to the matrix. You got to cut something on for them to be able to distract you. Cut it all off just one day a week and see how that works. Talk to each other.
I think that's great. I think that's phenomenal. I love it.
That's the only way you're going to get it done, because that's the only way they can distract you. You have to cut it on. And just listen to the quiet. No music, no nothing. Just talk to each other. See how that works. Maybe that'll get to them. Maybe that'll work. You know, maybe that'll work. Because you say, hey, I got to go. I got to do this. Ooh, I got to run. Ooh, I got to go pay this bill. Ooh, I got to do this. Just stop. And just take one day and don't do anything. Shut it all off. That's what the Sabbath is supposed to be. That's what the Most High said the Sabbath was for us. It was the day when you just disconnected. And you just rest. and you rest. You don't cook. You don't clean. You don't do any of that. You just take a day and rest. So we're going to give you a chance. You pick the day. Just one day a week. And then you'll understand why the Sabbath is so important. And guess what? We've come to the end of our show. Anybody else have anything you want to share before we dismiss? Don't forget the prayer next week. Also, tonight, we're meeting tonight right after this class at 5:30. We're going on our call to end the new moon ceremony. We're going to blow the shofar and end the new moon ceremony. It started last night at sundown. And at 5 o'clock after our class was over, we blew the shofar to usher in the new moon ceremony. We're going to usher it out tonight at 5:30. So we're going to turn right around and call the number to our Sabbath day class, 720-820-1215, 720-820-1215. And that'll put you right into the call. At 5:30, we're going to be on that call. We're going to blow the shofar. We're going to end the new moon ceremony. And after that, you're free to go by and do whatever you need to do and go about our business like we normally do. Next week, one day out of the week, we want you to fast. And then we're going to have our prayer on the Sabbath day. Next week, we're going to have our major day prayer. So at 7 o'clock, and we want everyone to be there that can be there. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom to everyone. Don't forget, 5:30 today, call the number 720-820-1215 so that we can issue out the new moon ceremony. If nothing else, shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week.